Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Casey, come here. Casey had a testimony he told me before service he would like to share, so I want to give him that opportunity because it fits right into what we're ministering on tonight anyway. So go ahead. Hold the microphone up higher.
I was...
Stand on one leg. I was kidding about that part.
I was listening to Apostle Callahan on his healing. And some of you may know, I've been struggling with healing on my elbows, and just couldn't get the healing on it. And Pastor Callahan was saying that he heard a message from Kenneth Hagin, saying that he saw a vision one time when he was praying for somebody that he had a demon on him on this person, and this person he told it to leave, and the demon turned around and looked at him and says, "No, I don't want to, but if you say I have to, then I will go." Well, for whatever reason, that leaped through my heart, and as soon as I found the opening in that, I put that into manifestation, and I put that into practice, and it left. And
the pain in your elbows.
Yes.
Not the demon.
Exactly.
Okay. Just clarifying some things here. Amen.
Amen. And he was saying that I'm going to another a different sermon that he was saying that if you say these three things. He was saying that you can write your ticket with God. He says, speak it and
act on it.
Yeah, act on it and receive it. And but he was saying that when you do those, that you can do anything you want. I'm just being obedient by sharing my healing on this.
So your elbows are healed.
Yes, they're healed.
So let me review quickly for a second, because I'm gonna talk about this in just a second. He's been up here several times for prayer for these elbows, and he'll get some relief, but it wasn't totally gone. So he's listened to a message by Pastor Callahan, Apostle Callahan, on healing. And in listening to those messages, something just became real to him. He received it, acted on it, and received the full healing. Amen? Is that right?
That's correct.
So your elbows are fine today?
That's correct.
Praise God. So what I want to say is, adding to that, so many people say, "Pastor Jack, come up, pray for me so I can get healed." And I tell you, the majority of time people get healed right on the spot. But there comes a time God wants you to learn to do it on your own. And it's not by just hearing one message and going to church, hearing a message, and you get everything. He took the time to expose himself to word on healing outside the church service. In other words, he was doing what we call doing your homework. He wanted it so bad, he says, "I'm going to listen to the word even when I'm not at church." And all of a sudden that word came to life. He says, "I got it." And he accessed it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, until it becomes real. Amen? So it's exciting. There is not a sickness, an injury, or a plague that can set on your body and stay if you understand how to live by faith. Pastor Lee was telling a testimony about an individual he prayed for. He ministers downtown in a shelter, homeless shelter, or, shelter to help people. And he's there all through the week evangelizing. And he gave the testimony of a guy that I believe he'd had an accident. I don't know what the original cause was. But he had steel rods all in his body, in his back, neck, arm, everything. And so his arm was actually held by the steel rods where they said you can never flex your arm again, your hand. And this is your back, you can never twist either again because of the steel rods. And so we pray for him. This has been a week or two ago. Pray for the guy, and the guy's going, I'm not supposed to be able to do that. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. So then they end up going, I believe it was to Eastern State or something like that for a visit, and the guy went with him. And then went through the metal detectors. Pastor Lee set it off with his belt buckle. He forgot to pull his belt off. He set it off. This guy did not set off the metal detectors. He said, I've never not set off a metal detector since I've had these surgeries. Steel went somewhere. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? I don't believe all that. Then you probably won't access it. You definitely won't pray for anybody and see it happen. You got to believe that nothing is impossible to those that believe. We're hearing report after report now of babies declared dead in the womb have been resurrected in this ministry through prayer. Amen. And people that couldn't have babies, women that couldn't have babies, all of a sudden are having babies. There was one report of a woman, I don't remember who prayed, it was Pastor Phil or Pastor Callahan, the woman that had a hysterectomy and had a baby. Now that's a miracle. Amen? But God's in the miracle business. Do you expect miracles tonight? Open your Word, your Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Let's get started. We started last week on a series on the healing power of God. And we preach healing in here quite frequently. I would say at least once a year we do a series on healing because it's such a vital lesson to understand. We understand 3 John says, Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. We started looking at last week how God continually in the Word connected the promise of sins being removed, which would be salvation, right? Your iniquities being removed with the promise that God would heal you. God considers salvation to be a package deal that includes healing and prosperity. You know, you were never meant to get saved and then suffer through life broke and in pain. Now, what is an easier thing to believe for? I'm just curious, what's an easier thing to believe for? That you said, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior, and God came inside of you at that moment, and He took out that old sin nature, that heart that was contaminated through the fall of Adam, and He jerked that heart out of you, and He put in you a brand new heart that had no sin nature incorporated within it, and you became a new creation in Christ Jesus on the spot just by saying, Jesus, be my Lord. Or by saying, I receive healing for this back, or elbow, or headache be gone from me. What is easier? The reason that it seems easier to you to be saved is because, one, you don't have any visible, immediate, how can I say, any visible, immediate sign that it happened, where pain is there right there to remind you whether it happened right now. And plus, you've heard salvation, you know, pounded into your head for all of your life, pretty much. That Jesus went to the cross to deal with our sins. But yet healing may be a new thing that you're learning in these last days. And so we've heard about salvation, so we develop faith in that we can tell somebody, just confess Jesus Christ as Lord, receive Him, you know, receive the sacrifice of the cross, and you can be saved. And we'll believe if they'll confess it, they'll be saved. But yet, we have trouble saying, be healed. It's amazing, Jesus connected the two with the lame man. Remember the lame man that came, and I believe he was lame. The individual came in and he says, your sins be forgiven you. And the Pharisee says, who is he to think he can forgive sins? And Jesus said, what's harder to say? Your sins be forgiven you or rise up and walk? So he did both. In other words, he combined redemption with healing in that example. And God wants you healed. Now, last week we started laying out four steps required if you're going to step into divine health, divine healing. Right? One, you've got to believe that God is the healer. You've got to believe God's a healer. Amen. If you believe God's the one putting sickness on you, it's going to be very hard to use your faith to receive divine healing. You've got to believe God's a healing God. Next, you've got to believe that God wants to heal you. Step two is you've got to believe He's the God that heals. Right? And He wants to heal you. Step three, I want these to become a pattern for faith that becomes alive to you. Step three is you have to believe that there's a guaranteed process by which you can access healing every time. See, if I pull out a coin, I probably don't have one. I have an imaginary coin. And I flip the imaginary coin. It's an 1870 Morgan silver dollar. Well, I think small. Flip it up. You know. Now, who can use their faith right now that that's going to be a head? Assuming it was a real coin. I mean, how many are guaranteed it's going to be heads? I'm not talking about using your faith, you're going to switch it to a heads. I'm talking, you know that it's going to be a head. It's a 50-50 chance. Right? So you don't know it's going to be a head. I'm not talking about, you know, in nothing is impossible. I believe it's a head and that's a two-headed coin or whatever, you're not. You don't know it's going to be a head. Right? Any more than you know it's going to be a tail. Why? Because you have no guarantee that's going to come up heads. If you're going to use your faith on anything, you've got to know you have a guarantee to it. So if I flip the coin up and I say, now who believes it's going to be a head or heads or a tail? Everybody ought to be on that. Unless I pull up and it's a subway token. You know it's going to be a head or a tail. Because that's the only option. Heads or tails. So in a bet, you'd be willing to put everything on the line on that kind of a bet if you were a bettor, right? If you were a gambler. Which you're not. Faith must know that there's a guaranteed process by which you can see a guaranteed answer. Do you follow me? If you're going to say, I believe this is mine and I know it's going to come to pass, it's going to require you know that faith works every time. You can't use your faith on something you don't know is the will of God. Right? You can't use your faith on something that you don't know if you have a right to it. You've got to know there's a process by which you can have what God said. And of course, that process is the application of faith. Through faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. So many people pray this way, oh, Father in heaven, I know you're the God that healeth, and I need healing. I'm in just terrible pain, Lord God. And so, if it be thy will, heal me now. Now, what's wrong with that prayer? There's no faith in it. There is no faith in a prayer that says, God, if it be thy will. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. See, if you don't know it's God's will to heal you, how can you make a faith connection to it? Because you don't know if you have it or not. Faith believes it has guaranteed results. Amen. When I blew my back at that time and I sat on the couch for 3 days listening to tapes like Casey was doing with his elbows, I sat there and I couldn't hardly breathe for 3 days, and every hour I'd jump up and say, in Jesus, no, I'd stomp, Jesus' name, I'm healed. And I felt like I was going to pass out. It hurt so bad. But I had a guarantee if I would speak the word and act on the word, I would have the results of the word. And after 3 days, I put the tape in, played another one, another Apostle Callan healing CD, or tape, it was playing tapes. Came to an end, and this time I said, in Jesus' name, I'm going to jump. Now listen, my back felt like it was had 3 or 4 discs blown out. I mean, I virtually ate on the couch, slept on the couch, and crawled to the bathroom in between. And I jumped up and said, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Gah! I'm healed. And when I hit the ground, I had a brand new back. From a brand new back. My mother bought this table the other day. I showed it to her. I don't know what I was thinking. We were in Carrollton, Kentucky at a peddler's mall, flea market or whatever, and there was an old table with a marble top. I'm from 1-inch thick marble. Table's probably 5.5 feet long, 3 feet wide. Nice green marble. I mean, it's beautiful. $69. I said, that looks like a good deal. She goes, that is a good deal. So she bought it on the spot. Well, I had to load it. I picked that thing up. I'm telling you, it was every bit of 140 or 150 pounds. I'm not one of these where you walk like this. I mean, I'm just supporting it. I put it in the car, get home, I take it out of the car, carry it in the house. Had to set it down twice. Just to get in the house. Carried in there, and the devil screaming, your back. You got a problem with your back? I said, I have a brand new back. My back's healed. I put the thing, I didn't even feel a twinge, nothing. There was a time that would have put me down. But he's the God of healing. You must know you have a guaranteed process by which to access healing, right? Are you in Exodus 15 yet? Let's go to verse number 26. And God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments. See, there's an obedience factor in receiving the things of God. You can't do your own thing and think the promises of God are going to work. There's a being led of the Spirit aspect to accessing the promises of God. He says, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I'm the Lord that healeth thee. He says, if you will follow me, I will put none of these diseases upon you. Now understand, when they wrote the Old Testament, they didn't understand a whole lot about the nature of God. And the verses that deal with where it says God would put certain things on you when you're reading the King James, if you really look at the Hebrew, the options for those verses are everything from put to permit. And really that verse should be worded, I will permit none of these diseases upon you. God said, I'm going to bring you to a state of divine health, a place where diseases cannot touch your life. Amen. Because I'm the Lord that healeth thee. The name of God here is Jehovah Rapha, meaning the Lord that healeth thee. It's one of the names of God. We're talking about how if you're going to access the healing power of God, you've got to know that God's the healing God. Amen. And one of his names is, I'm the God that healeth. Now, I was talking a while ago about 4 steps to go into divine healing. Step 3 was you must know there's a guaranteed process by which you can access the healing power of God or whatever promise. Step 4 I left out, and that you've got to know that all the requirements to access it have been fulfilled in your life. I lost you on that one. Step 1, you've got to know that God's a healing God. Step 2, you got to know that God wants you healed. Step 3 is you've got to know there's a process by which you can see a guaranteed result. Right? I don't have time to go into that further. Step four, you got to know that all the requirements for you to receive your healing have been met. See, there's steps you've got to take to move into faith. Amen. There's steps you've got to take to activate the power of God. That's what Casey was doing as he was testifying earlier. He was activating the things of the promises of God. Step into that healing. And if you do those four things, you know God's the God that heals. You find it is His will to heal you. And you find that there's a guaranteed process by which you can receive healing. And then you activate that process, you will see healing every time. Amen. If not, there's something wrong in the Word of God. And He says, He's the God that healeth us. And He says, I'll permit none of these diseases upon you. God is a healer. Exodus chapter 23. You've got to think in terms of sickness has no right to your life. Exodus chapter 23. Let's go to verse number 25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now here we see it in a clearer declaration of what God says. He's not talking about putting disease upon you. He says, I'm going to take them away from you. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. Here He says, I'm going to take sickness away. You have a guaranteed right to bear children if you're a woman, right? Or to father children as a man. And you can live out your entire life. Your number's not up until you've lived long enough for your number to be up. Are you following me? And that will be at least 70, if not 120 years. Praise the Lord. And so God here again says, I'm going to take sickness away from you. Here we're seeing the heart of God, right? That God's people be sickness free. Last week we talked about this. We have a better covenant with better promises. If in the Old Testament God told Israel, you can live sickness free, what do you think that means for us in the New Covenant? He wants His church pain free. Amen. But again, there's a part of this here that says you must let Him be Lord. This thing that's running through the church right now where you can just run your own path and do whatever you want to do and live how you want to live and, you know, access the promises of God is not true. Amen? In fact, it's a fast track to a crash and burn. Psalm 105. I think we went here last week. We'll go again. Psalm 105, talking about Israel coming out of Egypt, verse 37 says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. God healed a nation of 2 million people in one moment through the Passover. Now, a Passover was a type of the cross, right? A type of redemption. And here, through the Old Testament example of redemption, God healed an entire nation. Remember, this is a nation 5 to 6 times the size of Lexington. That means not a single person would be in the hospital. Not a single person was home with symptoms. Nobody's at the Kroger store or at the Walgreens picking up prescriptions. Amen, with all the warnings on the label. This medicine may cause blindness, deafness, infertility, and sudden death. Take as prescribed. Do not drive or operate heavy machinery under this medicine or even try to breathe. It's crazy. And God healed an entire nation through a type of redemption. Now, these were all unredeemed people. They'd just gone through the Passover ceremony. These are people that were not filled with the Holy Spirit, did not have the nature of God on the inside, didn't know the word to confess it. Yet God heals an entire nation. How much more do you think we have a right to live without sickness, pain, and disease? And God's coming back for a healed church. He's come back for people who've learned how to use the Word of God, access the promises of healing by faith, and kicked pain out of their households. Amen. He is the God that heals. Psalm 103. We're trying to set a mindset tonight. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. So many people are walking around afraid of God and are ignorant of His benefits. He's got an amazing benefits package. If you'll access His benefits package, you won't need. What's the name of it? The National Health Care System? You won't need that. You may still have to pay for it, but you won't need it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you see that? Verse 3. Here again we have all your sins being forgiven. And then he says, and healeth some of your diseases. Occasionally one of your diseases. All of your diseases. God wants you healed every time, all the time, of everything. All the time. And it's available. And it's not hard. But it will take some homework. Did anybody ever take a course in school that was difficult and you had to do some extra study at home? Maybe you have some tutoring or whatever like that? Me either. But there were courses I had to do homework on. There were courses I had to study on. Oh my goodness. What was the name of it? Quantitative analysis. How many have had quantitative analysis? Tom and I. And Charles. Now, I love the course. But you didn't look at that one time and say, oh, I got that. Charles may have. I didn't. Charles goes, is this the best they can do? He probably found some shortcuts in it. I'm going, this is awesome. But I had to study it for a while. Amen? Before I had it down. And later, the teacher recommended me as a tutor to tutor other people going through the course. Because he recognized I understood it. It's going to take homework for you to develop expertise on any of the promises of God, including healing. You might have to turn the television off, put on the tapes or CDs for healing, and start confessing them. And maybe even play the same CD 3 or 4 times to make up for the times your mind wandered while you were listening to it the first 3 times until it becomes part of you. Well, that's just too much work. Well, I found out standing in line to pick up those medicines isn't that much fun either. Waiting for the doctor. I forget how long it was. My wife took my mother-in-law to the doctor here a couple weeks ago. They sat in the waiting room 4 hours before they came in. How long was it? Hour and a half. And then she went in for surgery to do all this preparation. And they went and says, well, you can't have the surgery like we thought because your oxygen count's too low. She had to reset. It was all this crazy stuff. You could have been sitting at home listening to messages. and skip that whole process. Amen. It's worth it. I've been sick, and I've been well. Well is better. Amen. Now, it's been 13 years since I've seen a doctor. It's been 1991 since I've been down with the flu. Well is better. Amen. And it's now been a few years since I've had any kind of cold symptoms that have really hit me. Well is better. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 107. Verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them. Now who's the word? Jesus. So understand, Jesus, when He came, He had to demonstrate healing power, didn't He? But if you want access healing, you're going to have time in the Word. It's going to take Word getting in you to let you access the healing power of God. The Word was given to you for a purpose, not just as a paperweight for the coffee table. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Right? It's living and full of power. Powerful means full of power. And as long as that Bible is sitting on the table, or it's, you know, by the bedstead, and the Word's not in you, that power's all locked up. We talked about this last week about a seed. When a seed is sown into good soil, the earth bringeth forth the fruit in the seed. Remember that? God says the earth brings forth fruit. So the seed must come in contact with good soil to release the power that's in that seed, and the Word is a seed. And the soil the Word has to be planted in to produce any growth is you. Your heart is the soil, according to, you know, the parable of the sower. Your heart is the soil the Word must be sown into for the power and life to be released. As long as a seed... Any of you guys gardeners? Do you have any seed packets at home? I can remember, you know, the farmers, before they'd keep their seed in like the mason jar sealed up, and, you know, have all these seeds all sealed and ready to go. And as long as they're in the jars or in the packets and not touching the soil, they'll stay dormant. They found when they explored some of the Pharaoh's tombs. Now, we're talking about 3,000-year-old tombs. They found seed in some of the tombs that were still viable. 3,000-year-old seeds that could still be planted and produce growth. That's amazing. And all that time in there, right next to that dead Pharaoh, they didn't sprout. Because seed must be in soil to produce. The Word being seed must be sown into the soil of a heart to release the life and power in that seed. So when it says He sent His Word and healed them, for us that means that Word's got to get within us to produce the healing power of God. No Word time, no Word meditation, no faith, and no promises manifested. And God wants to bring these to us. You know, my mom and I were talking about this yesterday. I didn't grow up celebrating holidays a whole lot. I mean, we weren't big into, you know, well, it's this day or that day. We did Halloween and Thanksgiving, somewhat birthdays when the kids were real little. Christmas. But Valentine's Day, we're no Valentine's Day in our house. When the kids are little bit, they get an Easter basket, but after that, Easter's, it's for little kids, some chocolate bunnies or something or whatever. Fuzzy chickens or whatever. Peeps. So we didn't do much for the older kids' birthdays, no big deal. No Valentine's Day. We just didn't celebrate all that. We just shoot off fireworks on 4th of July. But my parents did up Christmas. My mom said my dad went all out for Christmas. And I can remember we had great Christmases. Amen. And that was the highlight of our year was Christmas. And all these presents would be under the tree, and then Santa'd bring in other stuff, My dad loved to go ho, 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 bringing stuff in. He couldn't wait overnight when we got older. He couldn't wait. He'd send us to bed like at 6 o'clock in the evening. And about 6:30 we hear ho, 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 and the presents would be under the tree. You remember this? Probably a little later than that, but it wasn't late because he couldn't wait till the next morning. But can you imagine having this Christmas tree full of presents? In fact, Patty, somehow there was a cross-generational gene shift. And she starts shopping for Christmas December 26th for the next year. She got stuff stored all in the house for Christmas coming up. And she says, well, I'm done with this person, I'm done with this person. And then she starts all over again shopping for them again. So we have Christmas, there's mounds of gifts. I say, shut it down, Patty. Well, they need this too. And she's 27 years old. Let her get her own. Mound of gifts. So we got all these presents. And I can't imagine telling my kids, that, well, Mom's got all this stuff. Come on over for Christmas. Say, well, Dad, I'm just too busy. My favorite TV show's on this morning, and I just don't have time to come over and open gifts this morning. I don't have time to do all that stuff. And I got friends I want to see, and I need to go to the movies or what. It's not happening. I don't care how old my kids are, they're going to be there for Christmas morning. Not because I make them. They wouldn't miss it for nothing. Because they know how Mama shops. She asks them all the year. She'll be asking them in February, what do you want for Christmas? They got lists. Lists. Lori especially. They asked me what I want for Christmas. I said, I don't know, tools. But they can't buy me tools because they buy the cheap ones instead of the good ones. And they don't know which ones to get. So I just say, good drill bits. I always need good drill bits. Yeah, I'll take the Harbor Freight catalog and cut out the pictures for them. But anyway, I can't imagine my girls saying, no, Dad and Mom, I'm not coming for Christmas. I've just got stuff I really want to do. And my, there's a movie marathon on today of the old Godzilla movies. I just don't have time for all this. And some people might miss Christmas for that, but not my girls. And in the same way, God said, I sent my word. It's a package full of healing power. If you just take time to open that word and unwrap it in your life, take time to get that in you, it will produce results not just for one day a year, but for the rest of your life. It's a neat thing when you use the word to get healing manifested for any kind of attack. Because you just don't have that manifestation for that one time. It's like you've got dominance over that area for the rest of your life. If you just maintain some level of word in your life. So when I defeated flu 23 years ago, it's gone for good. I don't fear the flu. There might be a symptom try to hit me, but I say, no, I don't receive that. Get behind me. And so I'm not worried about swine, birds, or whatever rises up. I'm flu free. So once you get dominance at a level, you keep it. Now it took me some concentrated effort to get to that place 23 years ago. But now I just get to enjoy the fruit of it. It's kind of like when you plant a tree. You know, you plant this fruit tree. And the first years of a fruit tree are when they require the most care. That's when you're, you know, cutting the trees back. You're making sure they're properly fertilized and watered and everything. But once that tree gets to a certain level of maturity, you can kind of let it go. There'll still be some trimming you have to do, right? Some pruning to do. But it's now producing fruit. The promises of God are the same. Once you get the thing taken care of, you get it planted, and you take care of it for a certain level, all of a sudden it starts producing in your life, and you kind of go on your way and focus on something else. But the tree's still producing. Amen? When I first started studying the healing power of God, I've told you before, I got up my concordance, I wrote down every verse in Scripture about healing. Pastor Callum was preaching, and I said, I don't know if I believe that or not. I wrote down every verse in the Scriptures. Out of the concordance, wrote down the verses and read them night after night for weeks until I knew it was God's will for me to be healed. And then I'd meditate. I had took a handful of them. I'd just meditate them and speak them over my life every day. Amen? Not for hours a day, but during the day, I would pull out my card or whatever and I'd speak these verses into my life. So then when symptoms hit, I then had ammunition to fight the symptoms with, and I fought some knockdown, drag out battles with symptoms. But once I got that victory, you're at that level. Amen. And it's not just true for healing; it's true for prosperity. It's true for joy. It's true for peace. It's true for every promise of God. It's even true in your marriage. Amen. There were times early in our marriage, I'm confessing sometimes hours a day over my marriage. God, fix her. I mean, there'd be times I walk the floor. My wife is a fruitful vine within my house, and my children's branches about my table. We are one flesh, the two have become one. We're one mind, one heart, one purpose. And I'd walk the floor and confess. I don't want to do that anymore. God finally got her to a place. The marriage reached a place where the cause of division were worked out and the devil was moved out. Now all I got to do is say, God, keep her on track. The point is, anytime you're facing a new level that you want to work through by faith, they will take some concentrated effort. You're not going to be able to do your regular schedule and reach a new level. But once you get through that level, you may go back to some other regular schedule after you've broke through that barrier until the next opportunity to break through a barrier. Amen. I recommend to people, if you're fighting a battle, especially regarding healing, learn to lock away with God for a while and just confess the Word and read the Word and listen to messages where all you're allowing your soul to be dominated with is just healing promise, healing Word, so it virtually inundates all of your thoughts and words. And watch what happens. Versus we tend to hear a message like this and think, well, I'll do this, you know, and we just, well, oh yeah, I need to confess I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. And maybe it's the first time in a week you've said that. You're probably not going to break through very far like that. Amen? And by the way, it's much easier to apply this when you're healed and feeling good than when you're sick. Because when you're feeling bad, sometimes it's hard even to keep your eyes open, keep your focus, meditate, because all you can think about is pain. You know? So learn to do it when you feel good. Decide, I'm going to get this seed planted now. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. I forgive her for getting up and leaving my message. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, not half-heartedly. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, this was the passage God gave me for years when I was first saved. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Boom, every time I'd get with anybody, they'd give me that verse. Because it's so easy for us to try to lean to our own reasoning powers. Now listen, God doesn't expect you when you get saved to become brain dead. What He wants you to do is believe the Word. Come to the place you realize this is the Word of God. That God inspired it. He can't lie. If He put it in here, you can stand on it. You can stake your life on it. And then quit leaning to reasoning and lean to Word instead. And get this Word in you to the place that it's reasonable. I never ask people to do what's unreasonable. Get Word in you till the things of God become reasonable. Amen. See, for me, for the natural person, when your back's blown to sit on the couch for 3 days when the devil's saying, you're going to die, you're going to be paralyzed, they're going to fuse your back, get ready for steel rods. I heard all this for 3 days. You're crazy. You need to get to the hospital now. And I say, shut up, devil. God's the God that healed me. I'm already healed in Jesus' name. Now, what I was doing, listening to tapes and stomping around, doesn't seem reasonable to the natural-minded person. But to me, it was very reasonable. Because I'd retrained my reason with the way the kingdom of God operates versus the way the natural world operates. And if you're going to step into the power of God to heal, you're going to get a hold of how God says things operate. It's impossible to serve two masters. God uses this example in with regard to money. It's impossible to serve God and mammon, right? He says if you try to serve one, you'll hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other, right? You can't operate out of two kingdoms, is what He was saying. Oh, Lord, help me with this. There comes a time you got to choose to love the kingdom of God more than you love the natural ways of accessing healing power. You got to get to the place you love the kingdom of God more than you love Tylenol, or you believe the kingdom of God more than you believe Tylenol. It's easy to believe Tylenol because you take it and 30 minutes later you feel better. It's easy to believe in that. But guess what? You're going to feel bad again in 4 more hours. And in 4 hours, you're going to feel bad again. It hadn't healed anything. Just alleviated some symptoms. I'm not coming against Tylenol. Do understand, though, in high doses, it does destroy the liver. Tylenol is a deadly pill if taken improperly. And it's irreversible symptoms unless you know Jesus. So even Tylenol has some problems connected to it. There comes a point you got to believe in the power of the Word more than you believe in the power of a pill. And you're willing to start shifting from one kingdom to the other. Now I take the only pill I've taken, I guess it's 1991. Has it been an aspirin or a Tylenol? Or an ibuprofen or whatever, something. And I probably take one a year at least. If I really have bad pain, I might take one aspirin a year. Maybe two. And if it didn't have the aspirin, I usually prefer aspirin. Maybe traditional, I don't know. And the last resort is a Tylenol. But I have opportunities to take pain relievers through the year. where a symptom will hit. But I said, shut up, pain. No, you're not going to get a Tylenol. You're not going to get an aspirin. You're going to get a word. Now, the times I would do an aspirin is when I don't have time to work the word. Maybe it's something I got to do, and I say, I don't have time to fight this right now. I got to do that and take the pill instead. Are you following me? But it'd be a rare occasion. All my tablets always expire. I take one, and then the pill bottle goes bad. Because I'm going to work the word. And tell the pain to shut up. You're not going to get the pain reliever. I'm not coming against it. If you're in major pain, take the pill. I'm just telling you, there gets a level, gets a place where the word's in you strong enough, you're going to tell the symptoms and the devil you're switching kingdoms. That you're going to trust in the word of God more than you're going to trust the natural realm. And you're making the shift. You know, I don't know how many of you guys used to smoke and have quit smoking. Probably several of you. Amen. And I'm told quitting smoking is one of the hardest things you can do. And you should quit. No condemnation if you're smoking. But God will get you. I'm just teasing. This is a joke. But I've never smoked cigarettes. I've heard it's very hard to quit. And I heard people that quit may try to start weaning themselves off versus just go cold turkey. You know, you smoking three packs, then you go cold turkey. That's a whole lot of nicotine to come out of your system one time without me laying hands on you and God delivering you. Are you following me? Which we can do. I've seen so many people you pray for and the nicotine addiction is gone, but the soul tide of wanting to have a cigarette is still there. So they pick the silly thing up again, even though they're not going through withdrawals. And so they have to wean off of the cigarettes or wean off of anything they're addicted to, which is a natural way of doing things. Are you following me? Well, I believe there's a place where you can wean off the natural realm's medical assistance and start depending upon the things of God. So now I'm using my faith for this one. You're taking tablets for, 15 different things. Start attacking one. I'm not taking a tablet anymore. I'm going to use or take less of them. I'm going to start attacking these symptoms with faith. You know what they're finding out nowadays? I know you know this. So many people that are on a lot of medications, they start getting these really bad symptoms, and it turns out it was the medications. The stuff they were taking to make them better was making them worse. The neat thing about the Word of God, it never makes you worse. He is the Lord that healeth thee. Are you getting out of this tonight? Proverbs chapter 3, we'll start with verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God says part of the process of learning to step into not leaning to your own understanding, is you're going to access healing. God wants you to trust in His kingdom. There are people, right now we've got ISIS going around killing Christians, beheading people, killing babies. It's crazy over in Iraq, right? The stuff that's going on. But Christians are being given choices. Either convert to Islam or die. And there are Christians saying, you'll have to kill me. You can torture me. You can jerk out my fingernails, but I'll never deny Christ. And there are people being tortured and will not deny the name of Jesus because they believe in heaven. Well, sometimes there's a place where if you believe in healing, you got to say, I'll go through some hardships to access it. I'll confront some symptoms to obtain it. I refuse to bow that every time I have a little twinge of pain, I've got to go fill up on some kind of painkillers. I have had quite a bit of dental work done. I shouldn't say quite a bit. some dental work done over the past 10 years or so where they put a couple implants in. And they had to go in, and first they had to go in and do a bone. They put them in the top of my jaw. And the dentist says, well, first you got to have a sinus lift. Turned out I didn't have to have that. But he had to go in and take bone they use, and he had to go put extra bone up in my jaw. You might know what I'm talking about? Bone graft or whatever to make room for the implants. And then he had to go in and drill these holes up in my jaw and put these spikes in. They had to sit for 6 months and do all this work. Are you following me? And every time I'd go, he'd give me this prescription. He says, you're going to need these pain pills. Take these pills, you know, there's going to be a lot of pain. And I go home and speak, I have no pain in Jesus' name, and not take any pills. For all that surgery, no pills and no pain. He's the God that healeth thee. In fact, the last time I remember I really had to take a pain pill was probably 10 years ago, if not more, probably more, about 10 years ago. I had a tooth pulled. And they gave me the pain pills. And I don't need those. And I went home and I was just praying or whatever. And in fact, Patty, it was during a grace advance Thursday night. And I thought, I'm going to the advance. And I don't know, about 6 o'clock or so, that tooth woke up where the tooth used to be. And it said, you will do one of those pills. And I remember I took that pain pill because it hurt to the point I couldn't process. I was walking on, Jesus' name, I'm healed, I'm healed. Jesus' name, I'm healed. It hurt. So I took the pain pill. I think that's probably the last one I've had to take. And I took one. From then on, it was over. There's a place where you've got to be willing to confront pain. I don't know about you. I'm kind of logically minded. And I've come to the realization any pain in your body is just an electrical signal from one part of your body to the other. The leg really doesn't hurt. A signal is being sent to your brain that says it hurts. And why be taken captive by an electrical signal? Now, I understand if it's so bad you can't function. But there's a place where it's just tolerable pain that we tend to run for a pill for every time when you really can pray that one through. I was so proud of Carol Sunday. How many were here Sunday when Carol had that attack against her hips? After service, she's over there crying. Hips were hurting. So I went and prayed. We prayed. And I told her, I says, listen, if this pain's bad enough, we're going to take you to the emergency room. We're not going to require you to walk something out when you're in tears. She says, nope, I'm healed. And so we pray for her. She says, well, it's feeling better. Help me up. And to make a long story short, she started walking the floor. I'm walking with her. We're praying in the Spirit. Walking back. She says, feeling better. And then she starts bending her back backwards and forwards and everything else and all this other stuff. And she's going, nope, I don't feel like I need to do that yet, but God said I can do this. And by the time she was done, she was walking around, you know, at a tolerable level. Here she is tonight, dancing. Amen, refuse it. What happened? Anybody else would have said, get me to the doctor, and they'd be planning some kind of surgery. I'm telling you, they'd have been planning surgery. They'd have took MRIs and said, well, you've got deterioration here, this is going on there, we better do this now, and here's some pain pills for that. They had her hyped up on something and planning to go in and cut pieces out. Here's your walker. But she says, no, God said I'm healed. So what'd she do? She goes to war against symptoms of pain. And didn't bow. And that's sometimes what it takes. That you refuse to bow down to symptoms. I'm not saying it's easy. But one thing you got to do is you got to get to the place you're not afraid of pain anymore. Pain produces fear when it's at high levels. Oh, I tell you what, the migraines I used to have, they start to come and I'd hear fear would come. You see the spots or the pressure would hit. Anybody had migraines before? Here come these symptoms. And it's like, glory to God, here's a migraine. And I'd be thinking, okay, where do I go to get a loan? Where can I find some codeine or something, you know, to help me? And this has been years ago, you know. And the fear. And I know you've heard the story, a lot of you. How many have not heard the story about the migraine? Anybody not heard the story about the migraines? This would have been in 1992. We just formed Grace Ministries. I knew about healing. I'd already defeated the flu year before. But since the day I got saved, I'd never had migraines in my life till I got saved. And all of a sudden, I started getting these migraines. And I'm talking about ones I'd had to go home, run the family out of the house, put pillows over my head, take codeine, and try to pass out till the next day. It was excruciating. And I tried to fight it a time or two and just never was successful. And we had this party. In fact, it was, I believe it was the Zweifels had a party. Remember Jody Zweifel? They had a party at their house and Pastor Callan was there, Pastor Jim, everybody was there. We had a big party. And I'm sitting there in this party and all of a sudden here came a migraine. And I knew what it was. I said, Patty, you stay here. I'm going to the van. Me and the devil are about to have a tussle. And here it hit. I'm talking about a full-blown migraine. And I went and sat in the passenger side of the van. And I said, devil, I've had it with these migraines. The Bible says I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm not tolerating you anymore. And not only, I'm not afraid of the pain anymore. On a migraine, you're afraid to blink because it hurts so bad. You don't want to hear any sounds. You don't want to move your head. I mean, all you want is just quiet and still and black. So I went in the van. I said, watch this, devil. I'm not afraid of the pain anymore. Now, my van, 87 Chevy van, had a steel dashboard. It was covered in a little bit thin film of vinyl to make it pretty, but no padding. I said, watch this, devil. I'm not afraid of this anymore. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. By His stripes, I'm healed. And I took my hand and I slammed it on the dash. Wham! It bounced off. You know what happened? It hurt. I always throw that in. It hurt a lot. And so I sat back up and I said, that didn't do it. But I know the Word says I'm healed. So watch this, devil. I'm not afraid of pain. I refuse to fear pain. It's just an electrical signal. It's a lying symptom anyway. I don't receive it. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. I went, wham! Hit my head again. I'm talking about as hard as I could hit it. Head bounced off the dash. Boom. And it still hurt. But I was determined that night, I'm leaving either healed or they're going to bury me. I'm going to split my head wide open because I'm... Now understand, I wasn't hitting on the corner of the dash, I was hitting on the flat part of the dash, but I'm hitting like this. Wow. I'm not leaving here with migraines. And so about every, I don't know, probably once every 30 seconds, wham, I'd hit my head again. Devil saying, you're going to die. I felt like it. Boom, hit it again. I did this for somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, nonstop. The whole time my head absolutely feeling like it was going to fall off. I was hoping it would. It would have felt better. Wham! And I sat back up and it was gone. That was 1992. It was the last migraine I've had. I had one try to hit me one time, I think, in now 22 years. Migraine free. Now that was radical. But I tell you what, I'll take 20 minutes of slamming my head or 30 minutes of slamming my head on the dash to be migraine free for life anytime. Now, see, I had a word in me. Don't do this if you don't have the word in you. I knew the Word said I was healed. I knew I had a promise of God. So I knew if I'd act on it, I would see the results God promised. I just had to believe. So I was just demonstrating the devil. I believed. And the headache was gone. And I went back in and enjoyed the rest of the party. Now see, that was a place I had to say, pain, I'm not afraid of you. And I'm not tolerating these symptoms anymore. And I'm switching from trusting in one system or one kingdom, and now I'm trusting in the other kingdom. No more codeine. When I went to the doctor with migraines the first time, he says, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you need. Because it was, I mean, these were horrid migraines. So I think we end up with Tylenol number 4 or something like that. And I'd take 2 or 3 of them at a time just to try to pass out. No more. No more backache. No more migraines. And I could tell stories all night of God's healed me of like this by refusing to settle for it in your life. But you don't get that through a little sermonette. Or through hearing one nice message, you get it by spending time in the Word of God for a promise. He sent His Word and healed them. You got to choose. I'm switching kingdoms. Amen. Oh, praise God. And we're out of time. If you're here tonight and you like prayer, I just feel like I heard the Holy Spirit say a couple things. You want prayer tonight to be delivered of any kind of addiction.